Hello, everybody. Thank you for having me. For those of you who don't know, my name is Sarah Marriott. I am the Young Life Area Director for the Central Okanagan, and I have the great pleasure of spending some time with some of your kids, and I really appreciate that you trust me with them. That is a gift. Thanks, guys. Today is a day of remembering, and I just want to share a little story with you before I start. A few years ago, I had the privilege of getting to chaperone a KSS school trip to Washington, D.C., and to New York. And one of the things that we did is we went to the Holocaust Museum. And all of our students had this beautiful and very visceral opportunity to remember. We actually attended a Memorial Day service. They call it something else, but it's the same day. I've got a picture. We were in this rows and rows and rows and rows and rows of headstones of soldiers that have passed away in past wars. We also had the opportunity to visit a number of other memorials, a number of other statues and artworks and epitaphs and things to remember the sacrifice that people made. People who decided to lay down their lives for their friends. And whatever we feel about war and those experiences, what I know is that those men and women went into it with the conviction that they were willing to give up their lives for other people. They were willing to give up for their lives for what they deeply believed in. So what we deeply believe in is really a matter of life and death. Something else I just want to share before we start is that we know that remembering is important. We know that our memories, what we choose to think about and to sit with, they shape our lives and they shape our character and they shape our families and they shape our communities. And people get real passionate about this. The other day I was sitting with two of my Christian friends and they were having a rousing argument about when you should put up Christmas decorations. And I was sitting quietly as I thought, oh my goodness, these two are going to actually have a fist fight. Because one of them is like, Halloween's over, I'm putting up my Christmas decorations, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I could not handle carols for 2 months. And my other friend was like, you can't do that before November 11th. You need to wait till November 12th. And I'm thinking, you need to wait till at least December 1st. 1 month of that gaudy, overly dramatic, colorful, just 1 month is enough. Guys, I love Christmas. I think it's a little bit much sometimes, a little extra. Anyways, they're having this huge argument, and the truth is they're arguing because they both feel very passionately about one or the other. One of them feels passionately that they do not want this day to be usurped by all of the commercialism of Christmas. And the other one's argument was, well, shouldn't Christmas get 2 months? Because isn't the fact that God sent Christ to us so important? Let me be clear. I don't think whether or not you have multicolored lights hanging from your house makes you more or less grateful for what God did for you. It's fun. It's cool. I am not a Scrooge, but I just don't think it matters how soon you put up lights to your remembering. Anyways, they were angry. They were angry with each other, and they were angry because it matters, because it really does matter what we choose to remember. I really appreciated Patrice's story this morning of her father. Because even when our tangible kind of memory goes, what we've walked in, the songs we've sang, the life we've lived, it sticks with us in our bones. You know, there's actually lots of research with Alzheimer's patients and other patients with dementia that talks about the fact that the way that they live their lives, and particularly the songs that they sung, stay with them. And so if they were a truly, incredibly grateful person, very often that gratitude, even when they're not sure what they're thankful for anymore, it remains part of them. So our memories shape us. God knows this too. I'm not going to talk about Remembrance Day. I'm not going to talk about peace today, other than to just start that way. I'm going to talk about what it means to remember. So we're going to start in Deuteronomy. Kevin said to me a few weeks ago, we were having a totally unrelated conversation, and Kevin says, what do you think of Deuteronomy? And I was like, I don't know, it's not my, like, light reading, Kev, but. And he invited me to come speak with you today. And I was really excited, actually, because Deuteronomy, Numbers, some of these books, this is like Moses speaking directly to the people of Israel from God. Like, this is God saying, listen, guys, I've got a plan for you. I designed you in my image. I know how you're supposed to function and operate. I know how you can have the best life, that you can walk in this world the best way. You can represent my image the best way. And so Moses came and he shared these things with the Israelites, and then he explained to them how to remember. So Deuteronomy 6:9 says this. First, it starts with the Shema, which I know you guys have already started with. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. It's good. And then it says, these commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. You see, these commandments, these instructions that God gave, they were bread, they were water, they were life to the Israelites. And so they weren't something to do when you happen to be at the synagogue or once a week. They were things to remember daily, and not just once a day, but throughout your whole day. I know that you guys have seen an image of the Tephilim, which I have here too. So this is an Israeli soldier with his Tephilim on his forehead and on his arm. If you have something like that strapped to your physical body all day long, you are not going to forget God's instructions. It's going to affect how you behave, how you operate. Heather spoke my whole message. I could say ditto and go home and we could all have an early lunch. Remembering wasn't just about, I'm gonna think about it. Remembering is, I'm going to literally put obstacles in my way so that my life operates out of these things that I am seeping myself in. I'm going to talk to my family. When I get up in the morning, I'm going to pray the Shema. When I go to bed, I'm going to pray the Shema. And all of the time in between, as I'm walking, as I'm sitting, as I'm not doing anything, as I'm doing everything, I'm going to continue to remember these commands that God has given us. I'm going to remember God's holy instructions. In Numbers, we have another way to remember. The Lord says to Moses, speak to the Israelites and say to them, throughout all the generations to come, you are to make tassels on the corner of your garments with a blue cord on each tassel. You will have these tassels to look at so that you will remember all the commands of the Lord, that you may obey them and not prostitute yourselves by chasing after the lusts of your own hearts and eyes. Then you will remember to obey my commands and will be consecrated to your God. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God. First, I just want to point out, I think, you know, when Jesus came, the Pharisees had kind of twisted this. They'd made it all about the do's and don'ts. They made holiness about perfection, not about being set apart. They made it about rules and regulations and not about relationship and love. This is God saying, listen, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt to be your God. I love you. Think of a parent and their child. When I ask my daughter to do the dishes, I'm not asking her because I'm mean and because I don't want to do them. I'm asking her because I know that if she learns to do the dishes, that this is good for her character, that her house, when she gets older, will be cleaner and she will be less sick. It's because I know what's good for her and I want her to have good things. Jesus understood that. That's why he was so frustrated all the time with the Pharisees. He's like, you guys, you're remembering for the wrong reasons. But regardless of the reason, the point is we have to remember. If we don't remember, if we don't know these things, if they are not deep in our hearts, if we have not written them in our hearts and ingested them like food, they will not become part of our character and our nature and our communities. And it's not enough that the pastor has memorized some scripture. We see him once a week. And he speaks it out, and that's awesome. But the point is that each and every one of us is meant to ingest this so it shapes our whole communities, so that we can be the image of God. And the truth is, if you don't have these things inside of you, you won't recognize when God is doing something amazing. You won't see it. Those that understood who Jesus was understood because they remembered the scriptures, because they had this memory of a coming promise, and they could see the signs and the symptoms of Jesus being that coming promise. There's one story I really love that helps with this remembering. So Jesus was with all of his disciples, and there's people all crowded around him. Like, everyone was just pressing in against him, and he was on his way to do something else, to heal someone else. And there was a woman in the crowd who had been bleeding for years. And she was desperate. And to be honest with you, she shouldn't have even been in a crowd. This woman, if she had listened to the Pharisees, would have stayed far, far away. Or as she entered the crowd, she would have said, "Unclean, unclean," so that everyone got away from her. And it makes sense. The rules around that time made sense. You know, if you are gushing blood in a pre-hygienic society, you don't want to spread disease. So God's rules actually really make sense about our health and our well-being. But she remembered a different scripture. She remembered something else. She had something else deep inside her. It says this. I'll skip to the woman. There's a prayer shawl, by the way. It says, she had heard about Jesus, so she came up behind him through the crowd and touched his robe. For she thought to herself, if I can just touch his robe, I will be healed. And immediately the bleeding stopped, and she could feel in her body that she'd been healed of her terrible condition. Here was a woman who was desperate for healing, not just because she was uncomfortable. Like, believe me, if you were a woman in that position, because she wasn't bleeding from her leg, guys, it's a little bit more uncomfortable than that. If Aunt Flo was visiting me for a really long time, I would be upset. But this woman wasn't just uncomfortable. She was outcast. She wasn't allowed to cook food for her family. She wasn't allowed to be touched by another human being for years. This is a woman who was desperate. And she recognized the signs of Jesus coming. She understood who he was because she had the scriptures deep within her. She didn't miss it because she remembered, because she followed those commandments to remember. And how do I know this? Let's go back to that picture of the shawl for a second. So, there's some words. I wrote them down because I don't speak Hebrew. So, those tassels are called tzitzit. Tzitzit. Those tassels are what God said to put at the end of your garments so that you remember. And Jewish men would have their prayer shawls. By the way, just fun fact, if you closed your prayer shawl around you to pray, that was your prayer closet. I know. They didn't actually have wardrobes that they climbed into. Amazing. But those long tassels at the corners, the edges, the word is, let me make sure I say this right, kanaf. Those tassels at the edges. And the word kanaf doesn't just mean tassels. You can skip down. Yeah, it's a wing or a corner. So that woman had scripture deep within her. If I was sick, I wouldn't think to myself, I'm going to go touch the hem of someone's garment. I wouldn't think to myself, if I could just lick that doctor's shoe. Like, what is the arbitrary reason that this woman decided that she was going to specifically touch the edges of his garment? Well, it's because she knew the scripture. If you look in Malachi, it says, but for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings, in his kanaf. I know, we think bird sometimes when we hear this scripture, but it's actually the wings of a prayer shawl, and it's the Son of Righteousness. It's Jesus. It's the Savior. There's going to be healings in his kanaf. And she knew this. And you will go free leaping with joy like calves let out to pasture. She said to herself, if this is the Savior, I know that I can get healing if I just touch his kanaf. If I just can reach out, I can get healing from that because the scripture tells me. If she had not followed God's commands to remember, to have those things deep within her heart, to speak of them with her children when she got up and when she went to bed, she would have missed healing. We remember for so many reasons. We remember so that we can be grateful in times of trouble. We remember to grieve well. We sit and we sit with the memories of people and we hold on to things, right? Even now, many of you guys have poppies. We have poppies to remember during this time of year. These are ancient ideas of how to remember. And remembering is so deeply, deeply important. See, God's instructions to the Hebrew people to remember wasn't because he was trying to bring control. It wasn't like the Pharisees' idea of remembering the commandments to keep everybody in line. It was so that we could recognize him, so that we could live out our purpose in being his image. We simply cannot do that if we don't remember. And it's funny because I have these friends who are so worked up about Christmas and about Remembrance Day. But are they as worked up about the scripture? Our North American Christian culture is all about remember the reason for the season. But do we know that person that we're remembering the reason for the season for? Honestly. You know, in the spring I came and I got to talk to you guys about the priesthood of all believers. And I talked to you about the fact that we do, and Kevin said this earlier, we have a reconciliatory work that we are invited to, that we are called to, that we are mandated for. It's our job. It's the reason we exist, actually, as the church, is this reconciliatory work between each other and to the world. We cannot do that if we do not know God's commands. If we don't want to walk in obedience, if we don't want to be set apart and holy, again, not for perfection, but for a purpose. Some of you might remember my toothbrush analogy, but for those of you who don't, a toothbrush is a holy item. It is set apart for a purpose. We do not use toothbrushes to scrub our toilets or our armpits. They have one job, and they are set apart, they are made holy to brush our teeth. And that is God's commands. That is why we remember them, because we have been set apart for a reason, for a purpose, and it is that reconciliatory work. And so my challenge to you today is exactly the same as it was before. Know this. Spend time with it. If you don't, you're going to miss what God is doing. You're going to miss out on goodness for yourself, but you're also going to miss out on opportunities to do the thing you are built for, that reconciliatory work. It's rich. It's delicious. It is bread. It is life. It is oxygen. You know, the other thing that I talked to you about last time is we take for granted. Remembering is also about not taking for granted. You know, the Israelites in the desert, they were so whiny. They complained so much. And God's like, you know what, listen, I'm going to give you some festivals to remember how I brought you out of Egypt, you ungrateful little brats. You know, I mean, he put it in their rhythms of their lives. There's so many other ways than just these two that God commanded the Israelites to remember. And so many things, and sometimes the remembering was fun. Have you ever been to a party with Jewish people? I am telling you, they party for days. Like, they don't have, like, a, we're going to have a little potluck and hang out. No, like, it's, like, all night, all day, for days. It's amazing. They know how to party. But they party to remember. Because God says, listen, you need to remember, because when you forget, you miss me. You miss the point. And I think we forget that we didn't always have this in our back pocket. We didn't always have access to this. Most of us wouldn't have been able to read 2,000 years ago. And if we had any of this, it was because we memorized it. We are taking for granted the fact that we don't actually have to ingest this anymore because we can nibble on it whenever we want at our bedside table. We're not letting it go deep inside of us. And that's tragic. And we are taking for granted this ability we have to come before God and be intimate with him. I'm going to show you one other thing. This is my Archaeological Study Bible. This is the most impractical Bible for preaching in the whole wide world. It weighs 17 pounds. My husband gave this to me for Valentine's Day. Like, it could have been a vacuum. Like, it could be worse, right? Yeah. And it's funny because he gave it to me with an eyebrow wiggle. We were driving to Nelson. We were going to spend the night for the first time ever since we had four kids. We were going away for a night, and I was nervous all day. I was like, what are we going to talk about? What if we don't actually like each other without the kids? You know how you do that. And we're driving to Nelson, and he's in the driver's seat, and he's like, I got you something. Eyebrow wiggle for those of you who didn't see it. I got you something. And I'm like, oh, you got me something. And he's like, it's in the glove compartment. Eyebrow wiggle. Glove compartment sized, Valentine's Day eyebrow wiggle. I open it up and I see this. And I laughed really, really, really hard. And he's like, what? It was expensive. I was like, oh, honey, I need to explain eyebrow wiggles to you. Also Valentine's Day. Also, our children aren't here. What? After dinner, he said, it's got Song of Solomon in it. It's cute. It's all right. What are you gonna do? Anyways, I wanted to bring it because, first of all, the thing is enormous. It's not because it has more scripture. It has the same amount of scripture as this Bible. But what it has is, I don't know if you can see, but along the side, it has all these little, like, references to the other scriptures. Jesus, the Son of God. God in a bod, as we call him in Young Life. Jesus himself had the scriptures deep within him, had them memorized, and he referenced them during his whole ministry. And I can see that in my Bible, even in the places where he doesn't specifically say he's referencing it. It's constant. So if the Son of God uses his memory of scripture to validate his reconciliatory work, how much more do we who are not divine need to do that? I'm going to pray for you, and then I'm just going to leave you again with the same challenge. This is life to you. And when you have it deep within you and you start to have separate eyes to see what God is doing, it's magical. It is worth the effort. It really is nourishment. You know, my kids, when they were little, they thought carrots were treats. It's because I didn't let them know otherwise. And my friend came over and ruined it. Your kids eat carrots? And they're like, what? It's a vegetable. Thanks for that. But my point is that now it's a chore to get them to eat carrots, but they used to eat it because they knew it was good. Are you eating this? Are you remembering his commands? Are you speaking to your children about them? Are you thinking of them when you go to bed and when you get up? This is where life is found. God, thank you so much for the opportunity to come and be with my friends at FBC. Thank you for your word that is alive and that can live inside of us, that can nourish our souls and our minds and our bodies. God, would you help us to know what it looks like now when we don't have tefillin and prayer shawls? What does it look like for us to write these on our hearts, to bind them on our bodies, and to have them in our doorways? Help us to remember who you've designed us and called us and empowered us to be in this broken world. And especially today, as we remember the cost of war, we remember those who've gone with conviction to fight for freedom and for other people's lives. Would you help us to know what it looks like for us to be peacemakers? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.